Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you on this Monday morning. Trust all is well, that you had a great weekend, great success, great accomplishments, being built up, edified, and ready to go for the last days. We're going to talk about some very important things today, I believe, for all of us to understand what's going on in the world in which we live. But first, we want to shout out to all of the men and women who fought with an idea of defending the virtues and the values of the United States of America, fighting for freedom, fighting for liberty, fighting for human rights, fighting for the protection and safety of the citizens of the United States, wherever you are, whenever you served. Happy Veterans Day to everybody out there. I was thinking about the battles in the scriptures of some of the great men of God who were doing exploits in the name of the Lord when it came to war. And I, first of all, thought of Abraham. And, you know, he had the warrior spirit in him when his nephew Lot got taken over by the kings of the five kings in the book of Genesis, and how Abraham rallied his troops. He went into town. He took care of business. He delivered the captives. And again, a type and shadow of one great warrior that we're going to mention here in just a moment, worthy of more than just a mention. But I was thinking about Abraham being a warrior. They fought. I was thinking about Joshua. You know, he took the reins of power when leading the children of Israel into the promised land, and all the military exploits that were given to him, the plans, the successes, and some of the failures that took place along the way, depending on the climate of the nation itself, Israel. And Joshua was really a warrior and a battler, and one extraordinaire warrior was King David. And I was thinking about David and his many battles with the surrounding nations in his day. What a warrior he was. Unfortunately, because he had shed so much blood, he was not permitted to build the house of the Lord, but he was a warrior. And throughout Scripture, we find again and again and again men who were judges, who were kings, who were warriors, that God employed to do warfare in that dispensation, which was the dispensation before the dispensation of Christ. And many wars, and how many of them fought, and how the people hailed David as he was marching home. You know, Saul killed his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. and that this was celebrated because, again, they were fighting for the defense of the city, the defense of the nation. They didn't want the enemy to take over and make them slaves. And so for the warriors that have fought within our generation who have fought in the same manner, most particularly unto the Lord, again, happy Veterans Day, no doubt about it. Now we come to a climax of the ages when Jesus Christ, you talk about a seasoned vet, right? You talk about a warrior extraordinaire. Here's a man that led a revolution, who fought the greatest battle without a shot fired. He went to war with everything evil, everything wicked, everything dark. He battled against Satan himself. He battled against demonic spirits. He battled against every kind of evil in this world. But more than that, he battled for the soul of humanity. And so when we talk about veterans, and again, on this earth and plane, there are heroes, there are generals, there are all kinds of warriors, and we thank God for those who have fought for the country, and we praise God for that, but we all give our attention to the commander-in-chief of the armies of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, who fought the greatest battle ever, the veteran of all veterans, like the king of all kings, and the Lord of all lords. He is the veteran of all veterans. And so we all give our allegiance to him because he fought a battle for even the veterans upon this earth. He fought a battle to win the soul of man. And we give him the glory. We give him the honor. We give him the praise. But to the veterans, the men and women who fought and died for this nation, we do give honor to them as well today, and I believe that they would concur with what I'm saying, that we give our allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ. He fought an eternal cause, not just a momentary, temporary cause for a nation who, by the way, unfortunately, with all the battling that's been done, has turned so far away from God in many directions and have allowed the evils to transpire within the nation and around the world. There's a battle that needs to be fought today. You know it, and I know it. There's a war that needs to be fought today. And it's a battle, really, that cannot be won by bullets and guns and bombs. It just can't be won that way. Because the battle, the cultural battle, the social battle, the spiritual battle, that is raging today, even though 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ defeated the devil so absolutely, he made an open showing of him, and he took the keys of hell and death, and he went into hell itself and defeated every principality, every power, every wicked device, and Jesus Christ holds the keys of hell and death. I mean, he won the victory, and he gave those keys to the ecclesia. He gave them to Peter. He gave them to the church. He gave the keys to the church to execute the judgment that had been written or had been accomplished. The success of Christ on the cross was given to you and I so that we could stand in the finished work, that we would be the recipients and the victors of the great battle that had been fought and won. Praise God. You and I have that. We have that. But we don't see the battle finished today. We don't see where the ecclesia has taken the rule and the reign and the authority and the kingdom and the keys of hell and death. We don't see that we have exercised our spiritual right, power and authority and privilege over the powers of darkness. So we live in a world where we see the satanic growing more and more, when in fact, by what Christ accomplished, we should have maintained. Would you agree with that? We should have maintained the cause. We should have held it down. We should have done what the word tells us to do, particularly in Psalm 149. We should have continued to demonstrate the victory of Christ on the cross. We should have executed the judgment that was written, and this is a very powerful thing, but it's not done yet. In fact, I want to read to you a story today. I want to read to you a story. This is coming out of Prophecy News Network. It's a very powerful truth. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. Again, veterans who fought with guns and bullets and tactical warfare, whatever it may be, this is a battle that cannot be fought in that uniform. The veterans today need to be those seasoned veterans of intercessors, men and women of faith, the men and women of prayer, those who know how to execute. Watch this. A giant statue of Molech now sits at the entrance to the Colosseum in Rome. Tourists that visit the Colosseum in Rome these days are getting quite a shock. A gigantic statue of a pagan Canaanite deity known as Molech has been erected right at the entrance. In ancient times, those that served Molech would literally sacrifice their children to him, and apparently this involved burning them to death. And now a massive statue of this pagan idol is the centerpiece of a new archaeological exhibition at the world-famous Roman Colosseum. Yes, the exact same Colosseum where countless numbers of Christians were martyred for their faith is now the home of one of the most monstrous pagan deities that the world has ever seen. I know that this sounds almost too strange to be true, but this is actually happening. The following comes from the official press release for this exhibition. A reconstruction of the terrible deity Molech, linked to Phoenician and Carthaginian religions and featured in the 1914 film Cabiria, will be stationed at the entrance to the Colosseum to welcome visitors to the exhibition. They are referring to this enormous statue as Molech. But according to Wikipedia, this ancient pagan god was also known as Molech, Milcom, or Malcolm. Molech is the biblical name of a Canaanite god associated with child sacrifice through fire or war. The name of this deity is also sometimes spelled Molech, Milcom, or Malcolm, and it gives the spelling. For purposes of this article, I will use the name Molech because that is the name that will be most familiar to the majority of the people listening. The organizers of this quote-unquote exhibition could have chosen to put Molech in a dark corner where nobody would have really noticed him, but instead they purposely decided to feature him in a place where 100% of the visitors to the Colosseum would immediately see him. One woman that recently visited the Colosseum told LifeSite News that this is what she witnessed. She said, "We were so excited the day we decided to go to the Colosseum," Alexandra Clark told LifeSite News via email. She and her sister Tiffany were looking forward to visiting the site of Christian martyrdom. "But the moment we got there," she said, "the sight that greeted us was horrifying. Standing guard over the entrance was the colossal pagan statue of Molech. It was placed in that prime spot so that everyone that entered into the Colosseum had to pass it." She continued, "How in the world could something like this possibly be allowed? And what makes this even more shocking is that the Colosseum is actually controlled by the Vatican." The following comes from Breaking Israel News. A source close to the matter told Breaking Israel News that, quote, "There is no way that such a thing could be done without direct permission from the highest levels of the Vatican. The Colosseum of Rome is owned by the Vatican, and specifically the Diocese of Rome, also called the Holy See. If anyone wants to do anything there, they must get permissions from the office of the Diocese of Rome. This exhibition called Cathargo, the Immortal Myth, could not be held there at all unless permission were granted at high levels." Somebody at the Vatican really messed up on this one. This isn't just some random ancient deity. In Leviticus 18:21, the people of Israel are specifically warned against sacrificing their children to this monstrous idol. And here's the verse. "And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord." And in Jeremiah 32:35, we are told that this is precisely what many of the people of Israel ended up doing as they fell away from the Lord. And here's the scripture. "And they built the high places of Baal which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Why in the world would anyone think that such practices are something worth celebrating? According to the Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry, the way that these babies would be killed was truly horrific. The ancients would heat this idol up with fire until it was glowing. Then they would take their newborn babies, place them on the arms of the idol, and watch them burn to death. I can't help but compare today's abortion massacre to the sacrifice of children by these ancient pagans. In both, innocent life is destroyed for the gain of the parent. Over the past few years, there seems to have been a concerted effort to put up symbols from ancient pagan religions in the Middle East in key locations all over the globe. This includes erecting the Ark of Baal in both Washington, D.C. and New York City. But unlike some of those other exhibitions, this one is going to last a whole lot longer than just a few days. In fact, we are being told that this statue of Molech will remain standing at the Colosseum in Rome until March 29, 2020. The statue of Molech, worshipped by both the Canaanites and the Phoenicians, is part of an exhibit dedicated to ancient Rome's once great rival, the city of Carthage. The large-scale exhibition titled Carthago, the Immortal Myth, runs until March 29, 2020, said the article. Interestingly, Rome was just hit by a magnitude 4.4 earthquake. It is extremely unusual for such a large quake to happen there, and it really shook a lot of people up. I have no idea if there is any connection, but I felt that it was noteworthy enough to share with all of you. Without a doubt, it truly is an abomination that a gigantic statue of Molech is now standing right at the entrance of the Colosseum where so many Christians were brutally slaughtered by the Romans. All right, so that's our article today. That's happening in Rome, Italy. The Vatican has something to do with allowing it to take place. We did see it in Washington, D.C. We did see it in New York City at the entrance of the park. These symbols, the satanic symbols. We've seen it right here in Little Rock, Arkansas, where they wanted to remove the Ten Commandments and put a statue of Molech up in its place. And so this, again, is part of the cultural battle that we are facing, that men and women that have bullets and guns really cannot fight against. Ladies and gentlemen, this is part of the spiritual battle, the cultural battle going on all over the world. And when you step back for just a moment and really think about it, when you really think about what's happening in the world today, it's frightening. It's frightening on many different levels. It's frightening to know that we are living in something that is, and I hate to be repetitive, but is drawing the wrath of God, the creator of heaven and earth, upon the land. It's frightening to think that we, like Lot, are living in the environment of Sodom and Gomorrah, realizing that the New Testament, both in Jude and in Peter, warn us that anybody that practices the same sins that they practice would receive the same consequences that they received. It's frightening to think that satanic symbols are becoming commonplace within our society. It's frightening to know that every single day through Hollywood, over the television screens, blasphemy of the Holy Son of God is taking place everywhere we live. It's frightening to think that the music industry is putting out the most satanic, mind-binding spells through their music. It's frightening to think that Hollywood is addressing the pagan worship through all of their mysticism and all of their things that they're doing. It's really frightening to consider that governments are turning over to Satan. It's frightening to think that universities are preaching against God and against Christ and are exalting Satanism, paganism, culturalism, communism, socialism, everything that turns the heart away from the God of the Bible and his son, Jesus Christ. It's frightening to think that we live in a world where lesbianism, homosexuality, transgenderism, pedophilia, pornography are abundantly pouring over into every fabric of society. It's frightening to think that the church in the world today is so lukewarm, so hushed, so impotent, as to have no strength to prevent these things from becoming realities. It's frightening to go to church and hear worship songs and praise the Lord, and yet realize that we, who are part of that very church, have done nothing to stop the tide of 80, 90 million abortions in our country. It's frightening that we, the church, that have stadiums filled, have not the power to stop the things that God called an abomination. Men with men, women with women, women with beasts, men with beasts, men turning their bodies to women, vice versa. Saturation of unholy things. And yet we go to our church buildings and we praise and worship the Lord, and we're supposed to be getting built up and strengthened and encouraged to go fight the battles in our daily lives and to be able to stand and learning the secrets and the mysteries and the strategies of how you do that and the things that would cause you not to succeed, but also to be salt and light and to expose the darkness. And it just seems like we're living in times where the overwhelming evidence, the church is not functioning as what God intended the church to be. It doesn't matter if there's persecution. Persecution is part of this whole gig. I mean, to be a Christian in this world, you draw persecution, period. The times of tribulation, that's part of this. The times of suffering, that's part of this. The time to carry the cross and die to self, that's part of this. I mean, that's just expected. Not to be run away from or denied. That's the way it is if you're going to follow Jesus Christ. He was persecuted. He knew tribulation. He suffered. He took up his cross. And we're following him. So that should be expected, right? But we live in an era where it seems that suffering, persecution, tribulation, carrying your cross, those aren't acceptable doctrines in our society. Those aren't things we want to do. And so we've exchanged the validity, the raw reality of the gospel for something else that's called Jesus, called scripture, called spirit. And it's not true. It's all counterfeit. It's frightening to see the rebellion within our society. And I ask, well, where do you find, what nation on the face of the earth do you find now that you could say there's a Christian nation? There may be some, probably in third world countries. You certainly cannot look at America as a nation and say, there's a Christian nation. We were like Israel. We were supposed to be a chosen people set apart for God's glory to shine to the ends of the earth, a peculiar treasure to show the people of the world what it looks like to belong to God. And it was supposed to be very good, but you cannot look at America today and say that. You can't say there's a Christian nation just because there's churches. Most of them are asleep. Most of them are backslidden. Most of them are lukewarm. Most of them are compromised to some degree. And yet within the church walls, we could put on great big concerts and conferences. We could do all that. But it shows up what is true by how it affects and impacts the world in which we live. And unfortunately, it's frightening once again to witness what's going on in our country and in countries around the world, like in Rome, where the church, Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome, didn't he? And yet the Roman Empire just kind of continued to do its thing. I think the church was a bit more alive in those days. I think the church was a bit more active in those days. It was more passionate in those days. And I know when Jesus returns to this earth, that the whole world will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. I know that, and I long for that, don't you? But what are we supposed to be doing right now? in light of the fact that the Vatican is allowing the Colosseum to put a statue of a god that kills babies in front of its entrance. And you see that in our own country. Well, I guess we got to find a way into this battle. I guess what we need to do is find our place in the battle. What is the cause? Little King David was out in a field one day, and he was taking care of the sheep, and he fought the bear and the lion. And when he heard about Goliath doing what he was doing, and the armies of Israel were cowering on the sides of the mountain, David said, "Is there not a cause?" And David, without the armor of Saul, but just with the Spirit of God and his weapon of choice, he went to battle the giant. How do you and I do that today? How do we stir the Davidic anointing in the Spirit of God to fight the battle today? Where do you fight it at? Do you go to court? Where do you go to fight this battle? And obviously, the very first place that David was fighting the battle was out in the shepherd's fields. He was out there with a few sheep. He was separated. He was a worshiper. He praised God. And maybe the church should function to raise up worshipers in the first place. Not shows, not programs, but worshipers. Not just in the feeling of emotion, but worshipers who have an ability to worship God and become so jealous for the things that God is jealous about, and to learn how to hate what God hates, and to love what God loves, and to live for Him and not for self. Maybe that's what the church ought to be doing in raising up the people. Yes. I believe the church could be the little shepherd fields. You could practice this in your home. You could practice this in the open fields wherever you live. You could practice these things. You could be a worshiper, a praiser, a worshiper of Yahweh, of Yeshua, and get the passion, get his heartbeat. When John leaned on the breast of Jesus in the Last Supper, it says that he put his head upon his breast as though he were listening to the throb of his heart. He was listening to the beat of his heart as though what you are passionate about, I am passionate about. I want to know the rhythm of your heart. I want to know what you desire. And we have basically relegated the heartbeat of Jesus to save as many souls as possible. And there's truth to that. But there's more to that as well. You really study the parables that Jesus taught. You read the gospel and you realize that, yes, heaven rejoices over the soul of one person that gets born again. But Jesus's whole message wasn't, you know, just he wanted everybody to be saved, but he had this knowledge that he imparted that really there'd be few that would walk into the narrow pathway of life. What was his battle against? I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is the rightful heir of the world. I believe he owns this earth and the universes. He owns it. It's his. He purchased it with blood. But right now it's under management of those that hate him. So what's our part in all of this? Well, to help me answer these questions and more, and I love our dear friend Kim from Colorado is telling us prayer and fasting. And I see our sister, our brother Phil is actually on the line, and he wrote this morning. Let me just kind of show this up here. Thank you, each of you, for your sacrificial service to our nation. And thank you, Jesus, for being our greatest veteran who fought the greatest war, the war for the salvation of our soul. Well said, Brother Phil, who is a veteran himself, and we want to say again to him, Happy Veterans Day. But Patricia Joy Xavier is here to join me today. She seems to be far away over there. I got to get her on the camera. Good morning, Patricia. How are you today, and what's going on in your heart?
Good morning. It is a wonderful day, no matter what it looks like. Outside, it's gray, and it's very, very wet. But we know one thing, God gave us one more day to get it right. And what a precious and wonderful thing that is. But I believe the warriors that God has called for a time such as this is not just the physical warriors, which was already mentioned, the greatest sacrifice multitudes have made for the freedom of this country. And many say, well, this country isn't all what you thought it was through the years. Listen, I lived through the best time of this nation, and I know it was fair, and I know it did what was right. And regardless of all the negative you hear about it, and the armies that went forth and for the United States to just take advantage, is not true. There are many other aspects of it that are not being told, and that is the reason true history is so very important. And I know even military men would say, it wasn't that way. But others have said, yes, it was. It depends on the attitude of the individual. But this country rose up to be a country to help others stay in a position of what would not be tyranny throughout the world. And we're still fighting that battle. Only this time, it is total and complete warfare of Satan and his demons and Christ and his saints. And this is what it's all about. It's about evil versus good and good versus evil. And one of the things that have been talked about, the statue of, I can't recall what Pastor called it. What is the name of that evil spirit that is being shown right now, that
Molech?
Demon?
Molech.
Molech.
Yeah.
Molech has been changed into many different names. But this pagantry is on the rise. And when pagantry is on the rise, there's only one behind it. And that is Satan himself. And he is rising at this time because he knows his time is short. Because now the people that are the true remnant of God are going to rise up and become his army in a great and mighty way, not in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm, where all war is truly fought first before it becomes physical. But that is a learning in itself. And that's why I wrote the book Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. We have rights that the church has not ministered unto the body in general. And these rights are to become the mighty army of God himself, doing spiritual warfare against these pagan idols that are risen up in the hearts of men to bring forth evil like never before. Satan knows his day is short, and so the warfare is on. Please, I ask you, if you have not gotten my book to teach you how to be a soldier in the army of God and how to do spiritual warfare, and know that your weapons are not carnal but spiritual for the pulling down of strongholds, you must learn how to do this. Your life depends on it at this point in time. It's not that God wouldn't protect you, but he has given us our weapons of warfare already to protect. And we have to execute the judgment. The judgment has been made. Satan is already overcome, but he wants his army to learn how to execute that judgment, where the Christian body rises up and becomes the power he called them to be from the foundations of this earth. And that power is magnificent. It's God's power, not ours. But he is calling us to a work that has not been successful yet within his church. Now rise up. If you have not received my book, I'm asking you to order it. You can go to PatriciaJoyXavier@gmail.com. PatriciaJoyXavier@gmail.com. I will be more than happy to send it to you. It is time, body of Christ, that we become militant in the spirit and realize who we are really fighting. You see, most of the church does not know that Satan is truly their foe. They haven't been taught properly. They think that was for 2,000 years ago when Christ walked the face of this earth. No, he gave gifts to man to continue the warfare, to be succeeding in the overcoming life of Jesus Christ within the individual who believes in him.
All right. Well said, Patricia Joy. And again, the stirring of the waters here to rise up. There are some things that are just simply inevitable. We are living in a day, I believe, that there is great tribulation coming upon the face of the earth. But what, you know, that does not necessitate to you and I living in this generation, watching Bible prophecy be fulfilled everywhere we look, that we're supposed to be cowering and fearing and cringing at what's coming down the pike. The unbelieving will absolutely do that. In Luke chapter 21, it's very clear that they will see fearful things coming down and men's hearts will melt because of fear of what they see coming upon the earth. But that's not for you and I. You and I believe our position, our calling at this time, and it might sound a little bit unusual for some of you to really grasp this, but I believe that the real work that you and I should be doing right now is calling it forth. You see, I think so many people are trying to hold it back rather than letting it come. Because when the church, like the two witnesses, I'll give you an example. In Revelation chapter 11, these two witnesses, what do? They call fire down from heaven. They strike the earth as often as they will, with as many plagues as they will. They turn water into blood. They do all these things, and the world is going crazy because of it. I mean, it's getting hit with one storm after another storm, after one beating, after another beating, another plague, and another pestilence. But where's it coming from? The two witnesses of God are actually releasing it. And if you would consider possibly the church maybe being one of those witnesses, or the ecclesia within the church being one of those witnesses, and the Spirit being one of those witnesses, whoever they may be, just a consideration, whoever they are, if it's Moses and Elijah, if it's Enoch and Elijah, whoever it is, they do something. But what they do is they trouble the world. They don't want the world to stay at peace when the world is offending God and murdering babies. And most of your churches out there are wanting to keep everything peaceful. They don't want any trouble. But I'm thinking maybe the church in the last days is called to be a troublemaker. Does that sound too over the top? I mean, many of the people in church would be aghast at such a statement. Whoa, we don't want to cause trouble. We don't want to rock the boat. We want everything peaceful. We want it peaceful so they could put up their pagan gods. We want it peaceful so that they can murder more babies. We want it peaceful so they could pass more laws for homosexuals and lesbians. And why would you want the world peaceful for doing that? Is my question. And when I look at the two witnesses and I look at people throughout Scripture that went to war because things were evil, I ask myself, well, what is the end time church doing? We want to be warriors. We'll go to war. And what is the war? You don't want to use bullets and guns, right? So we're told all the time, don't use bullets and guns. Then turn the world upside down again. Take the world system and throw it into chaos on purpose if you want this evil to end. And yes, it will create a great tribulation, persecution, suffering. The Antichrist will come. But isn't that what we want? Patricia, your thoughts.
Well, not necessarily for me, but what I want is spiritual warfare on the run. And I can tell you why.
Well, wouldn't that turn the world upside down?
Well,
evil?
Yes, in this way, can I mention that in the times in which politicians were the grandest and the greatest in this nation, it had to do with Christians taking position. That's where it moved in the power. When this nation was successful and this nation was correct. And this is where I'd like to see it go again, wouldn't you?
No, it won't go there because of prophecy. I think in times past when godly men took positions of power, they used their armies to destroy their enemies. And, you know, if you're saying that guns and bullets are not useful, then why would a Christian nation with Christian men and women in power use armies to destroy enemies? I believe that the only right thing to do in light of Bible prophecy today is to recognize what's coming, see the signs of the times, prepare for it. But what the two witnesses do before the great tribulation comes of the Antichrist is they turn the world upside down by speaking and releasing judgment all over the earth.
Absolutely. And I misunderstood that. Absolutely. I agree. Because the power is in their mouth. It's a two-edged sword. And it'll bring many different situations about. And we have to be bold. What that is being bold without fear. And the power of God is granted to us because he did not give us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. So we have everything we need to do such a thing. And please forgive me for that. I understand it better now. But until now, we have not fully understood what it takes to become this foretold army of God. Satan is a beaten foe, defeated by the blood of Christ at the cross. Yet the question is asked over and over again, how come he is so active if he is a defeated foe? And the answer is that we, the body of Christ on earth, have not yet learned how to use the spiritual weapons of God's arsenal individually and collectively. And the two witnesses do that very thing.
Well, amen to that, Patricia. And I know we're in agreement. We've got some callers calling in. We do want to open the telephone lines. And the number to call is 818-369-0326. We want to welcome all of our friends out there listening, wherever you're listening from. The battle we're talking about, unfortunately, there are veterans right now that are listening to this broadcast. They are courageous. They are bold. They are warriors. They have fought. They're not afraid. But this is not the same kind of a battle. And so there's got to be an adjustment in what we're thinking, because we need courageous, bold warriors, but we need courageous, bold warriors that know how to fight this battle, realizing that the victory's already been granted. Let's take our first call coming in this morning from area code 605-695. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. I was just reading in my devotions this morning, and I'm in the book of Psalms, and it was David, the psalmist, and he came across the same thing that we're in today because of the times that he had so many enemies against him. And, you know, we are in a stage now where Zion, which is the church, they are at ease, and it's really irritating for people that are moving into the Spirit of God and have this fight on their hands. I realize that. But this lethargy and this indifference is hard to bear because the prophets are out there and they're speaking, and the prophet always stands alone. But God uses the message to warn, and we can, in the same aspect of that, we as the mouthpieces of God, we got to be careful. And I'm talking about myself anyway, because we could get this contempt toward those that don't want to press in. And instead, we have to have this compassion and pity, but at the same time, we have to have, our hearts have to have, be filled with love toward them and mercy. So when we walk that way, then God has to be the one that moves upon the masses of people in whatever nation you're in. And I heard something very sad today about our veterans that are coming back, even now from the Iraqi war. It was on regular radio, and they said there are 22 suicides a day from the people that are coming back as veterans into America, throughout America, 22 a day. So like you said, what are we supposed to be doing? Well, I think we better be very obedient and speak wherever God tells us to talk to someone, whether it is a crowd of people or whether it's just one or two.
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, Patricia does not have her headphones on, and so she didn't hear your conversation. Mm-hmm. Were you able to hear the conversation?
Yes, I was.
Oh, you were.
And
okay,
yes, that's what I was trying to tell you. And when we learn, here's the thing. Here's the thing in a nutshell, and what you're saying is absolutely right. But when we learn how to fight spiritual warfare, we become God's militant church. We become the overcomers. We finally become the warriors that God has called us to be. He's been preparing his army for 2,000 years, folks. but is now in the final stages of preparation as the Holy Spirit pours forth his truth of the word in all power. That's why we must open our mouths and we must have the sword of the Spirit coming out from it with knowledge and wisdom as we receive it and act on it. Our words are power. They are so powerful that they just absolutely direct the destruction of darkness when we speak. But unless we understand that kind of power that we have been granted in the victory that Christ has done for us, we're not going to be that army of God. Many will fall away at the wayside, and it will be because, first of all, you have to be cleansed from all unrighteousness, and that happened on the cross. And if you receive it completely, it cleanses you as though you have never sinned before, and you stay in that realm. And all of the generational bloodline curses are finished in your life if you will understand how to minister properly to yourself. And then you rise up into the power in which you have been granted. And we yet have not done it. But as a whole, everyone who understands the truth would rise up with the Spirit of the living Christ. It will be taken care of and the Lord will come.
Amen and amen. Hey, one of the things that we're working through here, Patricia and I, down here together is because we are lacking a computer for Patricia. It's a laptop computer that needs to be purchased. We're working on doing that right now, so be patient with us. As soon as we get that all accomplished, we're going to have her in her office where she could do this. I'm sorry we're shifting back and forth. We have another call coming in right now from a veteran, Pastor Ken Wagner. Looks like he's calling in all the way from Texas. Good morning, Pastor Ken. How are you, sir?
Well, good morning, Pastor. I think you've got a great, interesting show going on this morning.
Well, thank you, sir.
And, you know, it's interesting when I began to listen to the different things that you were saying, talking about that deity, God of Molech, and things of that nature, realizing how close we are to doing that very thing. You know, the first thing that any enemy tries to do to a nation in power is to take that First Amendment right away that we have, the freedom of speech. And that's what we are seeing going on no matter where we go. The other component to that, of course, is even you watch the British when they came in at the beginning of our Revolutionary War. The first people they went for were all the pastors who were preaching of the God-given rights that every individual has. They were the first ones arrested. So I'm watching this going on over and over, even in this country now, where people are beginning to become afraid of speaking out. I recently watched one on a series that that Christian commentator Todd Starnes had on a pastor and allowed him to go ahead and speak forth his rights and what he wanted to go ahead and say. And basically what he came forth and said, he says that the Democrats are no different, that they are literally devils because they are allowing the sacrifice of innocent children, just like the god Molech, that things were that the children were offered up to him as well. Now, there's more than just Democrats doing that. I understand that. But the question, of course, comes in is that what ended up happening is that Fox News told Todd Starnes, because he allowed that to happen, that at the end of his contract he was being terminated. And he is basically a Christian commentator. So we're seeing our rights taking away from us right in front of our eyes. And we only got to go back about 80 years, and we saw what Hitler did and how they controlled the airwaves and the thoughts of people all the way through. You had 6 million Jews killed, but most people don't realize there was about 7 million Christians also killed because they didn't go along with what Hitler wanted. And that's the road we're traveling down. That's the road the enemy is going to go ahead and attack first. And once he gains control of the airwaves and the thoughts of people, people are going to be afraid to bite back, to go against them because of retribution that can come to them. But we as Christians have been under that gun for many, many years, just on a lower level. but it's going to get worse and worse. But we need to be the beacons. We need to be the light. We need to be the ones to speak out the truth that God has given us, because that's our God-given talent and ability. We are the lights. We have to stand. We have to go ahead and show people what we can do, what God can do when he has his servants go forth and do everything that's necessary in this world.
Well, amen to that. And Pastor Ken, you must be overjoyed this morning while all this is going on. Your grandson has accepted Christ into his heart, and you went down to Texas to be a part of his baptismal, and he got baptized yesterday. Tell us a little bit about that.
That was a blessing to see. You know, and, you know, I love the support of the people that I found out that there was probably around 10 to 12 families that didn't even attend the church where my grandson was baptized. They all came, and they brought their families with them. And that was a solidarity, and that's a beautiful thing to see, how people will support that very thing, the baptism of another Christian brother coming into the life of the Lord, to become a powerful soldier, to become a powerful warrior. And that really touched me when I saw that happen. And, you know, it was a beautiful thing. We had a great reunion afterwards with all the family members and had dinners. It was really a time of celebration and to look upon what God can do, even in the midst of all the turmoil that's going on, the joy that we can have together and family and the strength that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a beautiful thing.
Amen. That is beautiful. Pastor Ken, thank you so much for calling in today. Everybody else that is listening on the telephone line, if you have a question or a comment, make sure you press 1 on your dial pad, because I see many of you that are listening. You press 1 on your dial pad. We'll bring you in if you have a question or comment. Patricia, your thoughts?
My thought is what was mentioned a moment ago was well put. You see, Satan behind the deep state is the one that is trying to stop the First Amendment. And what he really, Satan behind the deep state, is trying to accomplish is to take away and stop the Word of God. There's no other battle, folks. Whether you believe it or not, it could come in very different directions and for different concepts and ideas. But the main reason for the battle we're seeing right now is to stop the Word of God, which is truth and life and power for righteousness and good things, and nothing in regard to the evil concepts and ideas of the deep state and those that are behind it. It is warfare of its finest kind, spiritual warfare in the heavenlies between Satan and his demon angels and Christ and his church. It's been that way all along, and now it's coming to a conclusion. Here's the thing. Satan was put under judgment long ago when he fell as an archangel, and when he acted illegally against Christ at the cross. Our part in the judgment is to execute that judgment as instructed. Joshua was told to take the promised land, and although he was promised victory, the people of Israel still had a war against their enemies. We have real enemies. It isn't flesh and blood. It is Satan and his demons. The Bible tells us we do not fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities, spirits of darkness in high places. And who is that has deceived us into thinking that it is any different for us today? It's the same. It has not changed. But we have something Joshua and the people of that time did not have: the guidance and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Therefore, we have been instructed to execute the judgment. Learn how to do this. It is imperative for your life, for your family's life, for all that you know. It is imperative for the church. It's imperative for the Spirit of Christ to rise up in this time to do that very thing. Come on, people. Let's go. Let's move.
Amen. Amen, Patricia. I've got a friend that has texted me and said, we can stop abortions. We can, C-A-N, we can stop abortions. And then he said, and I want to comment on that in just a moment. And he said, in celebration of all veterans, a special shout out to Vietnam vets. We love and honor you today. To what's left of the greatest generation, which included my late father, William Hagen, I am humbled by your love and sacrifice for us all. So that comes from Bob Hagen. He's been having a broadcast here on the Omega Radio Network for quite some time. So he's shouting out. He said we could stop abortions. My question is how? And the idea I'm thinking is that the president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, is filling judiciary positions all over this country. In fact, last week he placed his 150th conservative judge on the benches. He has put conservative judges in the Supreme Court of the United States. And so maybe through this effort that he has accomplished the days ahead, regardless of who the president would be, that these positions of power will last to bring about an ending to abortion. Time will tell. And if that is the only way to do it, I'd like to know, is that the only way to put an end to abortions, is politically? Is that the only way? What kind of spiritual warfare would come? It'd be awesome if the church prayed to such a degree of God's glory that the Holy Spirit fell upon the mind of these women and convicted them so deeply about what's going on in their life, in spite of the rhetoric that they hear all the time. That would be awesome. Conviction of the Holy Spirit. That would be revival. But what are we doing right now to draw that kind of spiritual renewal? What are we doing right now? We certainly need it. The world needs it. And I believe, you know, the hope that I see is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Patricia, your thoughts.
There is another method outside of prayer, and prayer is absolutely essential. But during your prayer, you begin to decree a thing. This is another form of spiritual warfare. And you begin to speak those things that are not as though they were. The Lord gave us the ability to do so, and the power is in the tongue. So if we see that it is not happening, we begin to decree that it will and it shall. It may give us more time of reprieve.
All right, very good. Well, again, the idea of reprieve is, you know, and I don't mean to sound contradictory, but I believe that maybe we need to consider prayerfully as to whether or not we're here to keep bringing reprieves to a world that's running rampant and sick with sin so that they kill more babies and do more evil things, or we should not be a generation of troublemakers. And I don't mean that in the negative sense. I mean that in the most positive sense, that we need to trouble this world. And if our spiritual connection to God in heaven is not there, not strong enough, do you think God wants to trouble the world? Do you think he wants, in its present order of things, do you think he would might maybe want to trouble things a little bit, stir the waters? He could. He could wipe out the universes if he wanted to. But he's got a people here on this earth to do something. And in the Bible, we know Elijah troubled the world system of Jezebel. We know that the prophets of old troubled, you know, the systems of men and the kingdoms of men. And we know in the last book of the Bible, Revelation, there are two witnesses who are going to trouble the world. Maybe we need to start thinking about how we could trouble this world system. What would you do? How would it work? How would you pray? What would it be like without losing your love and your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness and all the beautiful things of the Spirit? But aren't we called to do something more than just sit back and watch and pray for reprieve so it could continue on? Now, some would say, well, no, we want a reprieve so that we have more time to get it right. And I understand that, but how much time has gone by already? An entire generation. Things are late. Bible prophecy is being fulfilled everywhere. We've got 60 seconds left in the broadcast. I defer to my beloved wife.
Yes, we have.
Patricia.
In a reprieve, more time to get it right for our own souls, but even more than that, for the souls of the multitudes that will definitely be deceived if we don't reach out there and help them. And there's another cause too. If what you're doing is to stir the fire, to stir the judgment, what would happen if, and I believe this, I may be wrong, but I believe I'm right, if we do get that corrected, get abortion out of the hands of men and into the hands of God by stopping it. If that happens, if it's a change, that will really anger the enemy, because Moloch has children to sacrifice. That is who he is, and that's who's been erected all over the nation and all over the world right now. So that's going to get Satan really angry.
Okay, well, we know he's angry already, and he's coming with great anger. Well, we jumped out. It's Monday morning. It's Wednesday. We're off and running. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Omega Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, and YouTube. And thanks, everybody, for joining us today. Patricia and I salute you in the Lord. Have a super blessed day, and once again, to all of our veterans, God bless your heart in the mighty name of Yeshua. Shalom, everybody, and God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here at 9 a.m. Goodbye. And right now on omegaradio.org, there's a roundtable discussion going on with Patricia Joy Xavier and her roundtable discussion. That's happening right now. God bless.